श्री नवति पिताम की
जय,
अंगमाई की जय,
जन्ममाई
की
जय,
भक्ति देवी की
जय,
तुलसी देवी की
जय,
समवेद भक्ति पंडित की
जय।
ओ ग्लोरी से समुद्र,
हरे कृष्ण।
ओ ग्लोरी से समुद्र,
हरे
ग्लोरी से समुद्र,
हरे कृष्ण।
ओ ग्लोरी से श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग नित्य गौर विनंद हरे हरे मौन सुनते भक्ति Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Nandagopa Kumaraya,
Nandagopa Kumaraya,
Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Govindaya Namo Namaha.
In the very early days of the movement, sometimes the devotees would chant this as part of the kirtan, even this particular mantra. That's so wonderful. It's just all names of Krishna. Okay, who would like to chant it? Yes, it looks like Tirthapapa was ready. Words Krishnaya,
Krishnaya,
the Supreme Lord.
The Supreme Lord.
So all names of Krishna. That, no, not all names of Krishna would be that, but I could understand why they did that. I'm not supposed to be giving a purport now, but it's all names of Krishna, because Kunti Devi is calling out the names of Krishna now. Because in the last verse, she said, you're here for the Paramhamsas. Those who can separate the essence out from material existence, like a swan can separate milk from water. So what hope is there for me, she says. I don't have that type of fine discriminating intelligence, that type of detachment, someone who is consciousness is not at all intermixing with the material world. That's not me, and that's who you've come for. But what she does immediately is chant the names of the Lord in so many forms. And in relationship to the Lord's devotees, which means in relationship to his pastimes. Because if one's consciousness becomes absorbed in Krishna's name, form, pastimes, and qualities, one's consciousness won't be absorbed in the name, forms, and qualities of the material world. And this is the problem that everyone in the material world has. We're absorbed in the material world. We're not absorbed in the spiritual things. And the result of being absorbed in material consciousness is that is repeated birth and death. Samsara dhavanamadita loka. So by translating the Bhagavatam for us, Srila Prabhupada is saying, here, I'm giving you an opportunity to end the cycle of repeated birth and death by becoming absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and in activities related to Krishna. It's an opportunity. And of course, when there's an opportunity, one has to take it. Otherwise, the opportunity passes us by. I once had a dream. I've had many dreams, not just one time. But one time I had a dream about Radha Shyama Sundara. in Vrindavan. And they were coming, this was the only time I ever dreamt of them. They were on something like a track or something. It's maybe a little bit of a peculiar dream. And they were coming towards me. And I was so happy. But then I bowed down. And then by the time I got up, they were past me and gone. Anyway, not that we shouldn't bow down to the deities, but it's an opportunity to be with them. When Sutadev, when Krishna visited in the 86th chapter of the 10th canto, when Krishna visited, what city does anyone know? Mithila, also known as Janakpur, now fairly close to Kathmandu. But Krishna actually visited there, and when the Brahmin, I think it was the Brahmin Sutadev as opposed to King Bhavarasa, he offered his obeisances in this way, because if he was going like this, naturally he would go like this, and he didn't want to take his eyes off of Krishna. This is attraction. And unless there is attraction for Krishna, there is no question of our consciousness being absorbed in Krishna, because there's such a natural attraction between our senses and our consciousness and in the material world. This is what it means to be in the material world, is that we are spontaneously attracted to Maya. We're all on the spontaneous platform of attraction to Maya. But what we want to do, what the purpose of our life actually is to gain some actual attraction to Krishna. Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's service. We want to gain that attraction. It's the jewel of life. And when one is very, you could say, serious or even simply say sincere, and if one has that attraction for Krishna and his pastimes, then the material world, it ceases to have any power over us. And until that point, oh, what a struggle we have. This is good for me. This is what I should be doing, but my whole consciousness is in this way. Excuse me. Yeah. So it's such a struggle to pull our consciousness away. But if there's attraction for Krishna, then it's easy. So then the next question is, please say it loudly, how to develop attraction for Krishna. So the first point is that it's he's all attractive. So if he's all attractive, we have to look towards him. And then if we look towards him, then we too will become attracted, because he's all attractive, and it's natural for us to be attracted to him. It's natural for us to be sheltered by him. And if we're not sheltered by him, we have to imagine we have another shelter. And that shelter is like any other shelter than Krishna, is like what? What is it? Thinking something that's going to be, what examples? I don't have anything in my mind particular, I just thought of one. What's another kind of shelter, a kind of thing that we tend to take shelter of in the material world? And what Prabhupada, when he compared it to grabbing the tail of a dog and expecting that to carry you across the ocean. The dog himself. Did you ever grab the tail of a dog while he was swimming in the bay over there? Now say if you did grab the tail of a dog, that dog. I mean, we're not recommending that you should do that. But if you did, and you decided to cross and have him bring you to Maharashtra, do you think he could do it? The dog? Why? Is he strong enough? No, he himself couldn't do it, what to speak of pull you across. So we need something, someone powerful. So Krishna, he is the tenth tapa of the Bhagavad Gita, which is Ashraya tapa. He is the Ashraya, or the shelter of everything, even mukti, even liberation, takes shelter of Krishna. So we want to turn towards Krishna. And the primary process of doing that is hearing Bhagavad Gita, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we don't hear, our consciousness, our intelligence will become weak, and we will drift towards Maya. And if we do hear, on the other hand, about Krishna, the result will be we must become attracted to him. We must become attracted to him, because it's completely natural for the soul to be attracted to Krishna. Because we're tiny and insignificant. We're tiny and insignificant, and we need a shelter. And he is what he is. He's all powerful, all beautiful, all attractive. So Kunti Devi, she says, Krishnaya, how can those who are not paramhamsas, how can they understand you? And then she begins to chant his names, all in relationship with the devotees, which means in relationship to his pastime. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. So Krishnaya is to the Supreme Lord Vasudevaya, unto the son of Vasudev. So we'll try and get through the word by words today. Unto the son of Vasudev. Devaki Nandanaya, unto the son of Devaki. So she's offering her obeisances to the Supreme Lord, who has come as the son of Vasudev and the son of Devaki. Now that, if you pause for a moment and think about it, how? By definition, the Supreme Lord is the Supreme, and he existed before anything else existed or anyone else existed. So how can he be the son of anyone? Because obviously the father is and mother are older than the son, or the daughter for that matter. So how is it possible? So immediately we're into the realm of the inconceivable. But even just by the first word, unto Krishna, the Supreme Lord, what is the meaning of being the Supreme Lord, the Lord over everything? It's actually inconceivable for us. He's beyond our grasp. He's beyond our experience. His powers, his beauty, his knowing what he knows is unlimited. That's unto Krishna, the unlimitedly beautiful. He's unlimitedly beautiful. This is Krishna. So do we want to take shelter of something limited or unlimited? Do we want to take care of shelter of the dog's tail to cross the ocean with the limited strength of the dog and limited ability and limited intelligence? So we need to take shelter of something unlimited, of someone unlimited, but naturally, because we are limited at this point, our consciousness is limited, the unlimited will be inconceivable to us. Because the limited, how could the limited conceive of the unlimited? So unto that Supreme Lord, unto Vasudev Devaki Nayananda, unto the Supreme Lord was inconceivably come, appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. And where? Where did they appear? Where did he appear? Where? Where was it? Where? In Vrindavan, in the greater area of Vrindavan, and a little more specific? Mathura. Mathura, and a little more specific?
Yeah.
In a prison. Now, that's pretty wild if you think about it, that the Supreme Unlimited Lord, how could you put something unlimited in a prison, which by nature binds it, limits. When you're in prison, it's so disturbing. I mean, not that I would know exactly, except not directly like that. But Prabhupada even said when he was in Russia, in that time in Moscow, he said he noted the nature of the government at that time, and he said, I may not want to go outside of my room, but if you say I cannot go outside, it is intolerable. That's what prison is. It limits your activities. So how could the activities of the Supreme Lord be limited? They can't be, but yet he's born in a prison. So what is the first thing he does? That English language is so tricky. What is the first thing he does? He leaves the prison after showing his forearm form. And he leaves. Because one can say that the love of the residents of Mathura is wonderful, but it has some boundaries. And he wants to cross the Yamuna and go to? He wants to go to the land of Vrindavan, Gokul. He wants to go to Vrindavan because he's so attracted by the love of the Vrajavasis. And he knows that. Abhigya Swarat. He's independent. Swarat. And Abhigya, he knows that. He knows the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And he immediately goes there because it's time for his childhood pastimes, which are all attractive. And Prabhupada will say in the purport, they're the prototype of the spiritual world. What does prototype mean? Excuse me?
Forerunner,
the example. Forerunner, yes, exactly. It's a model, we can say. So Krishna's activities in Braja are the model, or they tell us exactly what's going on in the spiritual world. Because he's going to reveal this. If he doesn't reveal what the spiritual world is like, we'll never know anything. Or we'll think of in terms of our finite consciousness, and we'll never understand what the spiritual world is like. So therefore, when you're dealing with people of other religions, you ask them, well, you're practicing this religion very seriously, where will you go after? If you perfect your religious practices, where will you, what is the perfection that you're striving for? And really, there's no idea at all. What to speak of an attraction for that, a longing for that, a burning fire. A burning fire to be there. And unless we have a burning fire to be there, how will we keep ourselves from burning to be here and enjoy? So Krishna, out of his unlimited kindness, he tells us what it's like in the spiritual world by demonstrating it. And what does he demonstrate? These pastimes are being described just by the name, because each of the names is a little box, and inside the box is something unlimited. The pastime between the devotee and his Lord. Excuse me, the devotee and their Lord. So the next word, so we said Devaki Nandanaya Cha, Nandagopa. Nandagopa. And the translation the prophet gave here is Nanda and the cowherd men. Kumaraya. Unto their son. The son of Nanda, Nandagopa. Nanda Maharaj, but he's also known as Nandagopa because he's known in relationship to what he does. He's a gopa. He's a cowherd man. And but not only him, he's the son of Nanda and the cowherd man. Now, what interesting thing is hidden in there? Well, if you're all going to be stubborn and not answer me, I'm going to be stubborn and just wait. Who's going to be more stubborn here? Me. Yes, Paul.
The gopas are more attracted to Krishna than their own children.
Yes. They all have spontaneous attraction for Krishna in this Shuddha Vatsalya Prema. That they love Krishna as the darling of Vrindavan. Everyone has, all the elder gopas love Krishna as their son, even more than their own sons, but they all love Krishna, and Krishna can satisfy all of them and perform activities that give so much pleasure to all of their hearts. And how many cowherd men are there? Well, or one, let me change the question. How many cowherd men could there be that, and Krishna would still have the capacity to satisfy all their hearts? Yes.
Unlimited.
Yes, unlimited. Yes. You said it first. Unlimited, yes? Unlimited. Now, think of it the other way, and we're trying to say, now that's the glimpse we're having of the spiritual world just by Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. Now, in this world, we're trying to find the satisfaction in our son or other of the relationships that do exist in this world. And how many people can that one person, or how many people can I satisfy like that who want to look at me as my son or in the other Russes? None. Not only limited number, but none. Because I'm limited, so limited. And Krishna can satisfy everyone, and this is why everyone in the material world is frustrated by the relationships they have, because they're looking for the satisfaction that the soul is longing for in a place where, how to say it politely, it doesn't exist. So what that's why Prabhupada, he preaches so strongly against looking in the material world to find satisfaction, and then we get frustrated with it. And you know, I'm frustrated because my HTC smartphone isn't as smart as the iPhone, and I'm frustrated with it, thinking that the iPhone is, if I just can up talk someone into being very generous or something like that, or subtly hint or something like that. It's actually from my daughter. That then if I have that, this is what the material world teaches us. It puts us in a constant state of consciousness of if only I had this, and the if only is what I don't have now. But the reality is, if only I had everything I could dream of, I still wouldn't be happy on the material level. Yeah, and we see this everywhere. We see it everywhere. And yet Maya is so strong. And the spontaneous natural attraction of the senses to the sense objects and the conceptions of Maya and mind, they're so strong. Maya is so strong in this world. Prabhupada once said, the trouble with you boys and girls, we were all younger at the time Prabhupada was so senior, says that you underestimate the power of Maya. Of course, we don't see it because we're in it, like the fish doesn't see the water that surrounds him. We're living in the land of Maya, frustrated because we're not getting the satisfaction we're longing for, because we're not paramhamsas, not able to separate our consciousness, the Atma. That's why the Hamsa avatar came, to show her as the paramhamsa, the supreme paramparamhamsa, how to separate consciousness, from the world, from Maya. And then when it's separated, the impersonalists want to dissipate it, the consciousness, and make it, place it everywhere. But what the devotees do is take that consciousness that's separated from Maya and place it at the lotus feet of Sisi Radhavallabha. And what is, when we say place it at the lotus feet, what do we mean? What do we mean, place it at the lotus feet? What do we mean? We say things like that all the time. Okay, we're going to go into one of those stubborn things again. Okay. What do we mean? Yeah, we mean, oh, you are my Lord. Despite me being so impure, despite me being so offensive, despite my not being a paramhamsa, but despite everything, you are my Lord. And if I don't have you, Lord, how do you say Lord in Sanskrit? No. I am anat. And what is the translation of anat? English, into English? I'm an orphan. I have no one if I don't have you. If you want, and on my side, I'm trying. But if you don't accept me, despite my disqualifications, I am an orphan. I have no one. I'm on the street. I'm alone. Now, that kind of a mood, with that kind of full sincerity, touches the heart of Krishna's compassionate energy. Please accept him. Please accept him. But how to get that sincere? How to be so sincere? Well, one way is we can keep touching the fire of material existence again and again and again and again and again and again and again. That's my way. Of course, they're talking about my way. And then there's another way, which is the way that Prabhupada recommended, is in Melbourne, 1974, at the town hall, one person in the audience, he asked, how can you become sincere? And Chaitanya Mataji, would you just kindly say Prabhupada's answer?
He said,
associate with them. He pointed to the devotees. That's pretty, it's a lot of pressure, isn't it, on the devotees? And then he said, first thing he said was, if you want to become a drunkard, all you have to do is go to the bar and associate with the people who, if you go to the pub and you, here, bar means the lawyers, right? Liars. Sometimes I get all the different dialects. Bar means means the solicitors. Yes? No? Yes? Yes. Bar means the place where people go to the pub in the United States, where they go to drown their sorrows. That's pretty foolish, isn't it? Or you end up with a headache and a sore liver, and your sorrows are still there. You can't drown your sorrows. So Prabhupada said, if you want to become a drunkard, just associate with drunkards. If you want to become a sincere, and he pointed to the devotees, associate with them. So we have to find those who are more sincere than us. And if we don't have anyone, we have Prabhupada's books, because he's certainly, and this is association. This is association with Prabhupada. But we still haven't gotten through the word by words, but to speak of the purport. But there's always tomorrow. Always tomorrow. So, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. So, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya. Unto their son. Govindaya. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the cows and the senses. Now, I was just listening to His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj speak about the pastime of how Krishna got the name Govinda. Because previously, Indra had the name, or he was thought of as the protector of the cows, Go Indra, or the controller or protector of the cows. But after Indra tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan and all the cows, just imagine. Just imagine this. He tried to completely destroy all of Braja, every single person, every house, every cow in Vrindavan. So after that, Surabhi, the heavenly cow, said, we don't want him as our Indra anymore. Now you are Govinda, you are our Govinda, you are our Lord and Master. And so he got the name of Govinda. Raise your hand if you've been to Govinda Kund in Vrindavan. Everyone's responding like it's Monday, but it's Tuesday already. Everyone's very humble and shy. Raise your hand if you've been to Govinda Kund. Raise your hand if you've been born in Govinda Kund. Only one person. You get it? Sorry. Sorry. Right. Govinda Kund is so wonderful. And the way that Giri Govardhan Hill is there is just so wonderful. Such a sweet place. Such a sweet place. And right near there, right next to Govinda Kund, is the place where Indra came and apologized to Krishna. Krishna was so kind that he went around to inspect the damage around Govardhan Hill of all the, because Indra was throwing his lightning bolt one after the next after the next, and pouring down rain. And Krishna went around to inspect after that. And in a lonely place, he was with his cowherd boys and cows, and he left the cows off to the side, and he and he went alone because, and then Indra came to him when he was all alone. Now why would we say that's Krishna's kindness? Why would we say that's Krishna's kindness that he did that? Wait, just wait. We'll see if there's anyone else as enthusiastic as you are. Why was that Krishna's kindness?
So Indra would be embarrassed.
Huh?
So Indra would be embarrassed.
Otherwise, yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. He wanted to save Indra embarrassment. Now here, Indra had just tried to kill him, his parents, all the people who love him in Vrindavan, including gopis. And Krishna was so considerate that he wanted to save him from embarrassment. Not only did he not want to retaliate and get even with him, and he wasn't even angry at him, but he wanted to save him from embarrassment. Now, is that an encouraging thing? Is that encouraging or discouraging? Okay. Why is that encouraging? Everyone's really in a shy mood today. Why is that encouraging? Raise your hand. Why is that encouraging? Think of it in a personal way. Because Krishna's pastimes, he reveals his nature, his qualities. So the reason is obvious, is because, well, let me put it in a way. Would you like to surrender and put yourself in the hands of someone who's not going to get angry after knowing what you've done for a million, billion lives against him? And is so considerate that he's going to allow you to, without in an embarrassing way, if you just come to him in private. And he makes those arrangements. Now, isn't that encouraging? Yes. Now, he's the kind of person, the supreme person, that we can give our heart to. And this is just one little aspect of his supreme wonderfulness. And he wasn't angry at Indra. He wasn't angry at Indra. Isn't that astounding? And look at Indra, on the other hand. Now what happened that Indra became so angry that he wanted to annihilate everyone in Vrindavan and after this no one would even know that Vrindavan ever existed or something like that. He was that angry. Now what made him so angry?
Ego.
But what happened? What happened that made him so angry? Krishna stopped the sacrifice. Now here's the Lord of the universe, right? And here in one little village on earth. And last year and the year before, for so many generations, they had performed the sacrifice to him. And this time, on Christian's word, they didn't. Mm-hmm. Right? And here he is, and he wants to annihilate them completely. Mm-hmm. Now, one would think that he overreacted. I mean, that's pretty extreme, yes, Mahaprabhu?
Because Krishna advised Nand Maharaj not to worship.
Yeah, so but what a reaction. Just imagine that you had a patient that was coming to you year after year, and then one of his relatives advised him to not go to you anymore, go to someone else. Now you may be insulted and everything, but would you like decide to annihilate the whole country that this person came from?
Very foolish.
But what? Did you ever wonder about this? What caused him to act in that way? Some problem? What's going on? What problems was he having that day? Did you ever wonder about that?
No.
Well, I actually wonder about it. And I thought about this, and the conclusion that I reached is this is the nature of pride. He was proud that he was the king of heaven, and you insult me. Mm-hmm. You've insulted me. It wasn't the sacrifice or the ghee or the... You insulted me. And you know what's good? You're going to see who you're dealing with. Now, once I started thinking in these terms that this is what happened, understand this is the nature of pride, and then I understood that I do this all the time. I think in this way. You know, someone does something, you know, bumps into me or doesn't give me the respect that I think I deserve or something like that. I don't act on it, like Indra acted on it. That's the difference. But inside, the false ego becomes inflamed. And when the false ego raises, its true nature comes out. And really, it's ready to annihilate. This is the nature of pride, anger. This is the nature of false ego. And we think, oh, how could Indra do something like that? But this is the nature of false ego. And everyone who has a false ego is actually capable, in the right circumstances, of acting in this insane way. This is the very nature of turning our back on Krishna. Krishna bhule seji pranayavarma. When false ego gets aroused, anyone is capable of anything, the most heinous of acts. Ahankarava mudharma. Bewildered by false ego. How dare you do this to me? You will find out who I am, my power. I will annihilate. That's what Indra's mood was. So we can think, Indra, boy. But then secretly, I'm worse. Secretly, no one knows, but I'm worse. So the cows, Sarabhi Mata, said, oh, we don't want him or Indra anymore. To put yourself under that kind of an Indra is very, very dangerous. So the devotees always keep themselves very carefully under Krishna's protection. This is what is it called when you place yourself under Krishna's protection? What's it called? Yes, Saranagati, or surrender. And this is what Krishna asked. Saranam, Raja. What's the verse? Savadamam. All together now. Savadamam, Pritjadam, Amikam, Saranam, Amkam, Savapatam, Mokshasam. And Krishna says, Mokshasam, I will free you from all reaction. Moksha mean, and Masu Cha, what does Masu Cha mean? Don't fear, don't worry. And what does Prabhupada say in its purport?
Don't hesitate.
And he says, you may, don't worry, don't fear. You may do that, but such fear and hesitation and worry is useless. It won't help. It's born of false ego. All the fear we have of surrendering is born of false ego. But unless we become attracted to Krishna and hear about him, trust, understand who we're dealing with, how will our faith be strong enough? If we don't chant properly, if we don't associate with devotees, if we don't engage in panchanga bhakti service, how will our faith be strong enough to do it? Even though we know that the shelter of the material world is false. We know that. Mm-hmm. But still, we don't do that. Why? Unfortunately, we all have no attraction. So we want to develop our attraction for Krishna. We want to develop our attraction for Krishna. Okay. We didn't do very well there. Well, that's actually, we might as well finish. No, we might as well finish, we're already there. Namah. Respectful obeisances. Namah. Obeisances. That's a Sunday at least. Namah, namah. Offering our obeisances to Krishna with all these names and all these qualities. Let's read the translation. Let me therefore, this is Kunti Devi speaking, let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and senses. Please repeat after me. Please let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. So tomorrow, Krishna willing, we shall begin the purport. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
One thing I thought was interesting when you were talking about your day-by-day experiences of wanting to annihilate people.
And who's first on the list? Like this, any other questions? This is a lawyer working. I'm on the stand. Now she's going to get me in one of those. How come you don't practice what you preach? Okay. Yes. Yes.
I was still thinking that your other respects are insignificant.
Thank you, dear. This is what wives are for, right? To make us understand our true position.
Yes. The size of your anger or the moments of your anger are accordingly in size.
Yes.
But this person has like massive power.
Yeah.
And so a moment of anger is massive.
Yes.
So it's sort of like proportionately, you know, when we think, how did he get that angry? But he's like so powerful, so even in just one moment of viciousness, you know, he can destroy that.
Yeah. But we can do a lot. I saw recently, I was looking at these ants, changing the topic a little bit. We'll end at 9, don't worry. But these little ants, and there's this little red ant who had, this big black ant had somehow got him really angry. And this little red ant had grabbed onto him. And then he was calling his friends over too. And they were going to kill him. I tried to help out a little bit. I don't like that kind of violence. So anyway, the black ant got away and he went. He left town as quickly as he could. So he was trying. So that little red ant, you know, he offended his colony probably, and therefore he was going to. And he wouldn't. It was amazing how. He got him from behind, and he wouldn't let go. He wouldn't, and he was trying to get rid of him, but he wouldn't let go. He was holding on. So everyone exhibits their false ego according to their power, which is what you were saying. But Krishna, you want to speak?
I just want to comment on that as well. That
okay. That's just what I was going to say. That Krishna, by lifting Govardhan Hill insignificantly, so this great all-powerful Indra, but I was going to say it a little differently. all his power wasn't even exhibited, because what could someone, I mean, when you want to lift something heavy, you use two hands. So with the little finger of his left hand, not even his right hand, because the right hand is strong, the left hand, excuse me? Yes. That's what I was saying. The little finger of his left hand, so he showed that he was the Supreme Lord, and he was much powerful than anyone's false ego or anyone's real ego. He is the Supreme Person, the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord. And he didn't take offense even from the whole thing, because he saw me. So nice. Well, that's what happens when you do something wrong. Which is another whole point, that we all have so many aches, headaches, knee aches, ankle aches, you know, this, my heart's attacking me, you know, so many different things. And it's just that, because we've done something wrong. We've acted on false ego. That's called the law of karma. You aren't going to say that. Okay, now it's 9 o'clock and it's up. Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimati Devi Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gaurnithai, Sri Sri Radhabalava, Jagannath Balarev, Sri Bhadra Devi Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radhabalava Bhaktavinda Ki Jai.